Hello and welcome to this Monday edition of Catholic Answers Live. So happy to be back here with you. Thank you very much for being here with us. We did it again. We got a great Monday show for you, so I hope you'll join us both hours. The second hour, Carlo will be here. Carlo Broussard, we're going to talk about the Bible blueprint for the priesthood. Just how do we look into the Bible and get the blueprint for the Catholic priesthood. So hang around and for that one. And in the first hour, we have just one of our favorite guests and to talk about a topic we are very excited to talk about. In fact, one we should do much more talking about. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit this hour. And if you have questions about the Holy Spirit, things that you'd like to know, this person of the Trinity is in some ways most obscure. And if you'd like some clarity on the Holy Spirit one way or another, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. As I said, our guest is one of our favorites, Dr. Mary Healy. She's professor of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. She's an international speaker on things related to scripture, evangelization, healing, and the spiritual life. She's the general editor of this is a long bio, but I'm going to give it to you all because I want you to know who we're dealing with today. She's the general editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture and author of a couple of its volumes, one on the Gospel of Mark, one on the Letter to the Hebrews, and her other books include Men and Women Are from Eden. That's a book on the theology of the body. Healing is another one of her books, and oh, she got a bunch of them. I also wanted to mention it's the handbook, and now I've lost my note that I wrote, Dr. Healy.
Spiritual gifts handbook.
Problem. Thank you for helping me. I failed my exam with Professor Healy. Dr. Healy, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. It's a joy to be with you.
So, the Holy Spirit, I mean, in a certain sense, maybe you've heard this before, I'm sure you probably have, but, you know, there's three persons of the Trinity, and the name of the third person of the Trinity is qualities that all three of them share. They're all holy, and they're all Spirit. So who is this person, as you were saying to me just before we went on the air, sometimes called the neglected or forgotten member of the Trinity? Who is the Holy Spirit?
Yes, isn't it curious that the Holy Spirit doesn't have a name
right. In
the way the Father and the Son have names? Their names, too, are relational, but still they're distinct
right. To
them. And the Holy Spirit is named only with these two terms that actually apply to the Father and the Son as well. The mystery of how God chose to reveal himself in human history, I think, is at the root of it, because as you know, in the Old Testament, in the life of the people of Israel, only God the Father was revealed.
Yes.
The fundamental truth that the people of Israel learned is that there is but one God. God is one. And the Lord kept secret the fact that he also had a son. And in the New Testament, he revealed his son by his son becoming incarnate and living among us as a human being, dying for us on the cross and rising from the dead. And Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, but it was really only at the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost that it was revealed that this is a Spirit who is also a person, who is a person equal to the Father and the Son, eternal God. And so there's a real hiddenness to the Holy Spirit, even more than to the Father and the Son. And the fact that he doesn't have really a distinctive name, but so many symbols that help us try to grasp who he is also conveys his mysteriousness. He's fire. You know, fire is something you can't really grasp and lay hold of, right? If you do, it's pretty risky. He's symbolized by water. Water is also something that is It kind of goes its own way. It's not easy to just hold a package of water in your hand.
Right.
It's elusive. The symbols of the Holy Spirit are elusive. And I think it's partly because of that reason and also just historical reasons that he really did for a period of time in the modern era, he became the forgotten person of the Holy Trinity. And it's actually a very prominent cardinal, Yves Congar, who said that. The Holy Spirit is the forgotten person of the Trinity. And you notice that if you look at many modern works of spirituality, which, of course, are the point of a book of, on spirituality is to help people grow in prayer and grow in relationship with God and deepen their spiritual life, grow in holiness. But so many of them had almost no reference to the Holy Spirit. They spoke about God. They spoke about Jesus Christ. They spoke about Mary and the saints. They spoke about the church. They spoke about practices in the spiritual life. But it's incredible how some of those works actually said almost nothing about the very person who makes us holy, the very person that as human beings, we were designed to be the temple of. I mean, we were actually created as human beings to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, to have this person who is God, who is the love of God living in us. I mean, it's at the very core of who we are as human beings. And all of those who don't have the Holy Spirit living in them as in a temple because they don't yet know Christ, they're not yet joined to Christ through faith and baptism, they are actually not yet experiencing the very reason they were created, the very thing they were designed for.
If I may,
so I love talking about the Holy Spirit, as you can see. If you'd like the Holy Spirit.
And you're welcome to call and talk with Dr. Healy about the Holy Spirit, 888-318-7884. As you're speaking, I'm thinking some of this is remedied with the advent of the charismatic movement, perhaps, and maybe you'll say a word about that. My thought is, what is a church, or what is the advantage to the church, or the improvement, the difference that it makes to the church that doesn't forget the Holy Spirit? What might we look like and be different? How might we be different when we don't neglect the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a little bit like asking, what does a human body look like when it's missing the soul? Well, it looks like a corpse.
Looks dead.
That's what it looks like. The Holy Spirit is the soul of the mystical body of Christ. And it's precisely when the Holy Spirit came and fell upon the apostles and Mary and the early Christians that the church was born. So the church actually is not the church without the Holy Spirit. She's just an empty, lifeless structure. And there's this prayer written by actually a Greek Orthodox bishop about the Holy Spirit, and he just says it so well. He says, without the Holy Spirit, God is far away. Christ stays in the past. The gospel is a dead letter. The church is just an organization. Authority is domination. Mission is just propaganda. The liturgy is just an evocation, meaning calling on the Lord, and Christian living is a slave morality. How many people experience Christian life as a slave morality, like they are just doing what they know they're supposed to do because they believe they'll get in trouble if they don't, but not because they have been brought alive in the Holy Spirit and fallen in love with the Lord? And this prayer, the same prayer goes on. It says, but with the Holy Spirit, the cosmos is resurrected. The risen Christ is there. The gospel is the power of life. The church shows forth the life of the Trinity. Authority is a liberating service. Mission is a Pentecost. The liturgy comes alive. Human action is deified. That means we start becoming like God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, to divinize us, to make us like God.
I have to say, Dr. Mary Healy is our guest, by the way, on our number, 888-318-7884. Dr. Healy, listening, I can imagine, or I don't have to imagine, I can recall a time in my life where I might have said to you, well, then how do I get that? And I think there are many people who feel that way. If that vivifying role is the role of the Holy Spirit, I want to be alive. I want to be fully alive. I want to know these, you know, I want to know Christ in that way and know the gospel in that way. How do I get that?
Yes, great question. And I think that's what every Christian ought to be asking. Number one to the answer is, well, if you've been baptized And even more so, if you've been confirmed, received the sacrament of confirmation, you have received the Holy Spirit. So, you know, unless you've separated yourself from God by grave sin and walked away from Him, you have the Holy Spirit. But it's one thing to have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you know that as a doctrine, and so you believe that as a statement of truth. You've heard it in a homily, or you've read it in the catechism. It's another thing to really know it by experience, and that's what you're asking, right?
Because yes.
If you look at the Acts of the Apostles, you see that when people received the Holy Spirit, it was really obvious.
Right.
It was a fact of experience. They started doing things that they had never done before. They started overflowing with joy. They started manifesting gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of them supernatural, some of them more ordinary. They started being so bold about witnessing to their faith. They experienced the love of God so powerfully. They wanted to share it. They couldn't not share it with other people. So it was really a fact of experience, not only a doctrine. So the question, how do you get that? If you thirst for that, you want that, and you know that that's what God wants, because His whole desire, the whole reason Christ died and rose, is so that we could have the Holy Spirit. Well, I'd say, first of all, ask for it. Ask God for it. Ask perseveringly. Ask with conviction. Ask like you really, really are thirsty and desire it. And then I would say, look for people who manifest the life in the Spirit like that. Look for people who talk about the Holy Spirit and are really alive in their faith and have experienced the Holy Spirit themselves in their own life. And then if you have an opportunity, ask them to pray for you for that grace. That's what I experienced in my life. I went through what's called a Life in the Spirit seminar. Those still exist, and there are zillions of forms of the Life in the Spirit seminar. But it's basically a short course just to learn on a more personal, spiritual level who the Holy Spirit is, and then have an opportunity to receive prayer for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then that also includes the need to get together with people who desire more of the Holy Spirit and are seeking to live in the Holy Spirit and use His gifts and grow in His gifts. And as you're fellowshipping with and walking with people who are living that kind of fullness of life, you grow in it yourself. And then you can be a conduit of more of the Holy Spirit for other people as well.
888-318-7884. Our number, our guest, is one of the group of the first three women ever to serve on the Pontifical Biblical Commission, Dr. Mary Healy, who is a professor of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. And today, Dr. Healy is here to talk with us about the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit questions are welcome, whether it's about how the Holy Spirit is presented to us in Scripture, or if it's about how the Holy Spirit lives today in the life of the church and in the world. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Before I send you off, there are lots of people who let us know, and they're very kind and generous to let us know that Catholic Answers has meant something to them or to their family. In some cases, brought a child back to the church. In some cases, it has been the occasion for maybe learning basic catechism facts that weren't communicated when they were younger so that they could fully live out the faith. That means everything to us, because our mission is to bring people closer to Jesus Christ through the church that He founded 2,000 years ago, and the church that is still with us today. We call it the Catholic Church. Has the work of Catholic Answers impacted your life? It is helpful to us to hear those stories, and it actually is very joyful for us. But the folks who compile these things have asked me to ask you, if you have a story about how Catholic Answers has impacted your life or a life of a family member, you can send it to mystory@catholic.com. mystory@catholic.com. We'll be in touch with you again, and we'd love to hear those stories. Right back with more on the Holy Spirit with Dr. Mary Healy right after this.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Are you still Catholic if you're pro-choice? Are you still Catholic if you don't accept the Immaculate Conception? Just who gets to be called a Catholic? Father Sebastian Walsh joins us Wednesday on Catholic Answers Focus to give us a breakdown of who's out and who's in when it comes to the Catholic Church. And while we're making great episodes, on Monday we ask Father Hugh Barber about angels. If you haven't yet listened to Catholic Answers Focus, you'll find it for free wherever you get your podcasts, or watch on YouTube, or just visit us at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number, 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Having a great Monday here. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Mary Healy, one of the great Bible scholars in the church today, and also someone who constantly is reminding us through her various works and talks and whatnot to draw close to Jesus and to live with the Holy Spirit, to welcome the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Among her books are the book Healing, another book, the Spiritual Gifts Handbook, and I say among her books because she's got a whole bunch of them. And we're here talking with Dr. Healy about the Holy Spirit today, 888-318-7884, the number. There are suddenly a whole bunch of people who would like to talk with you, Dr. Healy. Is it all right with you if we go to the phones?
Of course.
All right, let's start with Teresa in Kansas City, listening on 1090 AM Divine Mercy Radio. Teresa, your question for Dr. Mary Healy.
Hello. Gosh, what a joy to talk to you. Not sure I have a question, but I was just calling to say what a lovely topic to talk about. And when people talk about neglect of the Holy Spirit, I don't quite understand that, because of the three persons of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit has always been, I don't know, my go-to, if you will.
Ah, did someone teach you that?
No, and no. I was going to ask her, Dr. Healy, that, because I was not a catechized, I was sacramentalized, right? So I am 61. Uh-huh. I was baptized as an infant, but I didn't really, and I received First Communion. And then when my family kind of drifted away from the Catholic Church, I came back, but it's always been the movements of the Holy Spirit in my life that has brought me to be, the devout Catholic I am right now. But I don't know. It's all about the Holy Spirit for me.
Dr. Healy?
Isn't that beautiful that it sounds like he led you in a kind of sovereign way? If you didn't... you didn't go seeking after the Holy Spirit, or you weren't in any group that particularly emphasized the Holy Spirit. But that's who he is. Of course, everything the Holy Spirit does is focused on exalting Jesus. And everything Jesus does is both focused on exalting the Father. So if we're led to God, it's because Jesus has led us to him. And if we're led to Jesus, it's because the Holy Spirit has led us to him. So... I think that it's just beautiful that you're aware of the Holy Spirit and the way he's been working in your life, and he's led you back to Jesus and to the church. And it's just what he wants to do for every person. He wants to introduce us to our magnificent identity and our inheritance in Christ and to the God who loves us so much. And no one else can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that.
Teresa, you're very blessed to have that in your life. Thank you so much for the call. I am going to go to Wichita, Kansas now. Listening on 96.7 FM is Ming. Ming, are you there with us?
Hello?
Hello. Your question for Dr. Healy.
Dr. Healy, thank you. My question is concerning what we profess in our faith when we say that we believe in the Holy Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son. And I understand that the Eastern Orthodox Church, I guess they leave it as a mystery. I think the technical theological term is the soliloquy. Could you expand on the differences between what we profess either as Catholics and the Orthodox Church in terms of, I guess, the economy of how God's attributes work? And then a second question, now that I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit, I know that a couple of philosophers like Dr. Richard Swinburne has like an ontological proof for the existence of the Holy Spirit. And I think Frank Sheed has, for lack of a better word, like I think a love proof. Do you have your favorite quote-unquote proof, or do you believe it's just something that's divinely inspired by God, like through
all
faith
right.
alone?
You came with the easy questions today, Ming. Okay, thanks.
Wow. Okay, well, let's go to your first question, which is, it's so simple, it's caused centuries and centuries of theological debate and division.
Right.
You're asking about the filioque, which is the phrase, and the Son, in the Creed, when we say the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. In Latin, filioque is and the Son. And that has been a very tragic and sad cause of division between Orthodox and Catholic Christians. Thankfully, there's been tremendous ecumenical progress just in the last half century, to the point where many Orthodox now will recognize that there's not a problem theologically with that phrase itself, that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. They still have a problem with the fact that the Latin Church added that phrase unilaterally, rather than it being a decision of the whole church, East and West. But they recognize that Scripture seems to indicate both that the Father and the Son, in some sense, send the Holy Spirit. And we see it especially from the Gospel of John, where Jesus speaks about the Father sending the Spirit, but also about himself sending the Spirit, the Paraclete. But the Eastern churches prefer to speak about the Spirit proceeding from the Father through the Son, meaning his eternal procession. How does he eternally exist? He exists from the Father because the whole Trinity originates from the Father through the Son. So the Father begets the Son, and the Holy Spirit is that mutual love between the Father and the Son. So, this is about the inner life of the triune God, the greatest mystery in the universe, really not even in the universe. And we know God only from the way he has revealed himself to us in creation. We know him from his actions and from his words in creation. So speaking about the mystery of the inner life of the Trinity is very difficult, and theologians of the most brilliant minds in history have explored and tried to unpack and explain this mystery of the relation between the persons in God. And as I said, unfortunately, that phrase has been a cause of contention, but thankfully it's less so now, and I think in the foreseeable future it will no longer be a cause of division between East and West.
Ming, thank you very, very much for the call. Dr. Healy, do you think that it is philosophically possible to prove the existence of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yes, the second question.
Yeah, I had not heard that, actually, so I'm...
Yes, I've never heard that either. I'm not familiar with those proofs. If you're trying to do so in a way that you're trying to prove the Trinity, it's the teaching of the Church that the Trinity is something only known by revelation. It's not something that human reason can arrive at. The existence of God can be arrived at by human reason, but not the fact that God is three persons in one God.
That's the mystery of his inner life that only becomes known by revelation. But if they are going about the proof in a different way, somehow not connecting it to the Trinity, perhaps there's something viable about that proof. I came across years ago a proof for the existence of God that related to the Holy Spirit, and it was very original. It was basically this man who said, I look at my wife and I see she is so worthy of love. Human beings are so worthy of love.
Oh, Dr. Healy,
we
got to repeat that when we come back because we're going to miss it. We got to take a quick break. Right back with Dr. Healy.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Welcome back. To Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour is Dr. Mary Healy from Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You're welcome to call and get in on the conversation, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Dr. Healy, I want to go back to the phones, but something about the last question, I have no idea why. Prompted a question in me that I'd like to ask you about, because I know you're also a scholar of the New Testament. And so it seems to me that often Jesus teaches about the Trinity by his manner of life, you know, like he'll mm-hmm. rejoice in the Holy Spirit. And as he's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit, he'll pray to the Father. This is a very Trinitarian moment, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But how much do you, as a Bible scholar, think that Jesus actually explained to the apostles, because it's so subtle in the scripture sometimes, the whole mm-hmm. Trinitarian theology, it's so subtle that it almost seems like it took the church centuries to work with that subtlety to come up with kind of clear dogmatic statements about what all of this meant. So I wonder if you could. How much do you think Jesus explained it to, say, Peter or James or John?
Yeah. Well, I think you're absolutely right that Jesus did not teach in terms of dogmatic formulas.
Yeah.
He taught so distinctively by parables and by very simple teachings in accord with what people were able to grasp at the time. You know, God is the greatest teacher, and he doesn't give the kindergartner calculus.
Yeah.
He didn't give the people of Israel the full doctrine of Christianity or the doctrine at all, just hints and shadows.
And then when Christ came, he revealed himself and he hinted about the Holy Spirit. He spoke about the Spirit as a person because he said that the Holy Spirit will give you what to say if you are brought before governors and kings on my account.
Right.
So he spoke about the Holy Spirit as the paraclete, which means the defense attorney or the consoler, the comforter. So he made it evident that the Holy Spirit is a person, not just a force, you know, the force be with
right.
you. But it, as you said, it took the church centuries to work that into a dogmatic formula that God is three persons in one God. But the truth is there in the New Testament. It's just not fully systematized and fully unpacked. And it was really only with the actual coming of the Holy Spirit, when they actually received and experienced the Holy Spirit, that the apostles began to teach and understand about the Holy Spirit and preach about the Holy Spirit. And gradually that led the fathers of the church to hammer out their doctrine of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. It's a very gentle pedagogy that God
yeah.
employs. He allows us
it
to
really
adjust and work it through for ourselves. But it's effective, I mean, because it's divine.
Yes, it is.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Let's go to sure. Alberto here in San Jose, California, watching on YouTube Live. Alberto, are you there with us?
Hey.
Hi.
So the question I had was, my family is all Catholic, and they've all gone through confirmation, and none of them, to my knowledge, have the Holy Spirit. Only my mom, who's a charismatic, has the Holy Spirit. So my question is, why is this?
Yeah. Yes, your question reflects the experience of so many millions, unfortunately, that they have received the Holy Spirit because we believe the sacraments work ex opere operato. That means they truly work. God does what we are opening ourselves for him to do in the sacraments. But for many reasons, people's experience does not live up to what has objectively happened in the sacraments. And some of those reasons that it doesn't happen are the teaching and preparation is not adequate. Often those who are actually giving the teaching, preparing young people for the sacraments, are not themselves fully and thoroughly converted and living a life in the Holy Spirit where they are radiating the presence of Christ and a witness to Christ. And so there's little expectancy. And often that ends up meaning little faith. Sometimes those who receive the sacraments, because they haven't been well prepared, they really have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. So there is not a full opening of the door of their hearts to the Holy Spirit. They may be saying, you know, I want to get the sacrament because that's what I'm supposed to do. We're supposed to go through these ceremonies, but not a radical opening of their hearts to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and revolutionize their life. Sometimes the way even the sacrament is celebrated is not as conducive as it could be to the full experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. And Pope John Paul II especially spoke about this, and he spoke about how evangelization and the vibrant proclamation of the good news of Christ has to precede the giving of the sacraments, especially those sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, and that people need to fall in love with Jesus, not just be catechized and then receive the sacraments. They need to have their whole human person receptive to and given over to the Lord who wants to work in their lives, who loves them, who wants to be present in a whole new way in their lives. So if you said, I think you said your mom is charismatic, then she's had that experience. She's had some opportunity to maybe make up for the lack of good preparation or whatever, lack of faith, lack of wholehearted embrace of this gift that she might have had before, and to really come alive in the spirit. And so if she and you and others pray and ask the Lord and say, you know, we want that too, and I want my family members to have that, God hears those prayers. And especially powerful is the testimony of somebody who had a kind of perfunctory Catholic faith, perfunctory practice of their faith, and then they came alive in the Holy Spirit, and everything changed. And it's like the grass is greener, the sky is bluer. I'm alive because the Holy Spirit lives in me, and Scripture comes alive, the Mass comes alive. So when people can give that kind of testimony, it attracts people, and often people will say, I want that too. How do I get it?
What do you think, Alberto?
So I will pray that for your family.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I can't disagree with that. I mean, that's kind of my experience is, even as a non-Catholic, like, when I received the Holy Spirit, I came to Christ, and I was broken, you know, at the time. And so I received him, and what you're saying is pretty much exactly, you know, what I didn't experience, maybe because I didn't believe at the time. So it's more to do with me, like you're saying, to do with the person's, like, desire and their, you know, their desire to, like, want to know more and to want to be deeper in God. So, yeah.
Thank you, Alberto. I suppose that's connected, too, with we often have the person who's Catholic who will call and say, you know, I went to this Pentecostal church or this chapel, you know, and they sing and pray in the Holy Spirit, and that's where I discovered Jesus, because perhaps there's a way in which that does in fact open the heart in a way that they needed, that they needed to have happen.
Yes, exactly. And whenever you see something like that, where there's an authentic working of the Holy Spirit, and you see people who are alive and love Christ, Protestants, Orthodox, whoever they are, we have to recognize as Catholics, that's part of our heritage.
Yeah.
That's our heritage. It's not something that it came in out of left field. That's the Holy Spirit and his mighty power at work in our lives, and his gifts, even his more wild, supernatural gifts, are part of the inheritance that Christ gave his church that has been our apostolic heritage since the day of Pentecost and has been there throughout the whole history of the church, but that we have sometimes neglected or sometimes been afraid of,
yes,
or not understood. But it is part of our heritage. And, you know, if you discover that in another Protestant, in a Protestant tradition, then say, well, thank you for helping me rediscover what belongs to my heritage as a Catholic.
Now let's all go to Mass.
Yes.
because every sacrament comes alive. That, as you said before, the presence of the Holy Spirit makes it possible to receive communion with Jesus in a way that's not possible without the Holy Spirit there.
That's absolutely right. You know, one of the duties of the priests in Israel was to never let the fire go out, the fire on the altar. Whenever an animal was offered up in sacrifice, it was burned. But that fire had to be kept burning. They could never relight the fire, because the first time that fire came from God. It came down from heaven.
Ah, yeah.
So fast forward to the New Testament, St. Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift that was given to you. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So our duty is to keep that fire burning. We have to be the universal priesthood of the new covenant. We're all priests in a universal sense. We have to keep the fire of the Holy Spirit burning in our lives so that our lives become a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We can't do that on our own. It's so much harder to try to live the Christian life
on your own. In fact, it's very frustrating. By your own research, try to get holy, to overcome your sins, try to forgive other people, try to love people who are not lovable. That is so frustrating. I've discovered that. But when you let go and let the Holy Spirit do that in you, oh my gosh,
everything
it's such
changes.
An adventure.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Mary Healy's our guest. I can't believe how many people are on the phone. This hour is just slipping away. We'll take a quick break right back with more on the Holy Spirit with Dr. Mary Healy.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect roundout of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges. Very grateful today for all the blessings that he has shown our family.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Did you know St. Robert was a doctor of the church?
That's my confirmation saint. What's yours?
We want to hear about it tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Keller, your host, and in the supermarkets, they put that Halloween candy out early. And then you buy it, and it doesn't make it to Halloween, and then you got to buy more of it. And I think we're a little bit early for Halloween as well with our 20 Answers book that we're giving away right now. It seems like we're a month early, Nick. As a matter of fact, I believe this is you that said this. Should have been October, because the book is Witchcraft and the Occult. Catholic Answers, 20 Answers on Witchcraft and the Occult, if that's something that you are interested in and you'd like the Catholic perspective on it, we'll give it to you for free. You just go to shop.catholic.com, click the button at the bottom of the at the top of the page, and you get it for free in ebook form. 20 Answers, Witchcraft and the Occult, free right now in its ebook form at shop.catholic.com. And I don't know what we're giving away next month. It'll probably be a Christmas book. I don't know. Maybe not. Dr. Mary Healy is our guest. There are 1 million people on the phone lines to talk about the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. The Spirit has moved. And we go now to Kevin in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on 720 AM. Kevin, your question for Dr. Healy.
Yes. I will first expose for myself... I am not of Catholic faith. I was raised in a more Protestant setting. So that's where I want to be very respectful of your other people listening.
Well, that's
the Holy Spirit, of time particularly. So I'll try to get directly to...
We welcome anyone to call, Kevin. It's just $5 extra for Protestants. So as long as you... then we're fine. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. You get me sidetracked there.
Sorry.
You caught my attention very much with talking about the Holy Spirit. I can't say I've ever heard any Catholic friends that I've had any type of discussion like this. One of our symbols of the Holy Spirit is the dove descending. And when you started to talk about the temple, the living in the temple, God talks about building the temple without human hands and so forth. And I believe that is the temple, that we are, our bodies are a temple for the Holy Spirit. And that's why we give ourselves as a living sacrifice. And I think that one of the things that we... particularly in more of our brethren and so forth, eschatology to me is important because it seems to put glasses on, and I was very curious as to your eschatology. That's a term you would be very familiar with. Is that correct?
Sure. Sure. Just for the listeners, eschatology is our understanding of the last things, what will happen at the end.
Yeah. That is very important. A lot of people are looking for a new temple to be built in Jerusalem. And that is a premillennial teaching.
Is that what you were referring to, Dr. Healy, when you were talking about the building the temple without human hands?
No. When Jesus spoke about that, when he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands, he was talking about his body. The temple that was destroyed was the temple in Jerusalem, the literal stone temple that God had directed Solomon to build, that was later rebuilt. And yes, I'm familiar with that desire of some Christian groups to, and some Jewish groups also, to build a third temple, a literal temple in Jerusalem. And I would say they are drastically mistaken in their whole understanding of the plan of God revealed in Scripture and of what the temple is that Jesus spoke of. Because what the New Testament shows us is that the ancient temple, the stone temple in Jerusalem, the dwelling place where God dwelt among his people, was a prefigurement. It was a shadow. It was to point forward to something so much greater that God had planned all along, which was a living temple, human beings, individually. All of those in Christ are a temple of the Holy Spirit, but especially corporately, as a church, together, we're a living temple where God himself dwells. He inhabits us in our communion with one another in the church. So the notion that it would be a good idea to build a third stone temple in Jerusalem it's like denying the light that God has revealed. It's like saying we've got to go back to the shadow when God has given the reality. So I think it's a misunderstanding of eschatology. Eschatology is a big subject, but essentially what Jesus tells us about the end is that he will return in glory and all will rise from the dead, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting punishment, depending on their decision, their choice. And those who rise to life will be with God and with each other forever, all the redeemed, all our sins completely wiped away, all the effects of sin totally gone, our bodies transformed, glorious, in a new heavens and a new earth. That's eschatology. So, you know, the idea of rebuilding a literal temple in Jerusalem, it's a very, very reduced, impoverished idea of eschatology that misunderstands the New Testament.
Kevin, thank you so much. I do have to keep moving because I want to try to get everybody in that has called, if I can, with Dr. Mary Healy. Our guest is Dr. Mary Healy. Our topic is the Holy Spirit. Up next in Pensacola, Florida, listening on 103.3 FM is James. James, your question for Dr. Mary Healy.
Dr. Healy, thank you so much. I want to get your opinion about what I think is a deceptively simple concept, which is that God involves consciousness, intelligent consciousness, and that...
Could you clarify what you mean by involves? You said God involves consciousness?
Well, it's a creative consciousness. It's an unbounded consciousness. And that took a long time, but... is that pure consciousness would be conscious of itself, which perceiver, a mechanism of perception, an object of perception.
You know what we're having? I'm okay. Sorry that we're having trouble with the line, but I think what James is giving us is a way of using human consciousness or the idea of consciousness as a ground for thinking about the Trinity. Is that something that you're familiar with?
Okay.
I think he's doing a psychological model of the Trinity, in other words.
Yes, okay. Something like what St. Augustine did.
That's where I think he is, yes. And I'm sorry, James, that we lost you there.
Yeah. Yes, I think there's some merit to that. I think there are also some limitations to that. All our faculties as human beings, our mind, our will, our capacity to know, our capacity to love, are created in the image of God, because we are in the image of God. And part of the way we image him is by being able to know and being able to love. And St. Augustine used that as a model to think about the relations between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I think there's some validity to that, but I think it's best to stay with the categories that Scripture itself gives us, that Christ the Son is the Word that God speaks, which means he's God's revelation. He's everything that God ever wanted to say to the human race and to the created world. He is the revelation of God. He's the Word. And the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. And that seems like a very physical thing. It is a very physical thing, breath. But that's how Scripture reveals the Holy Spirit. By analogy, of course, he's not literally breath. But in order to speak a word, one has to breathe. God speaks his word through his breath. And through his word and his breath, he created everything at the beginning, and then he redeemed everything and brings everything to the destiny that he intended for it. So I think we're better to generally stay with those biblical images for the Holy Spirit rather than the interior human analogy, mind and will regarding the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's my view.
James, I hope you're able to hear it. I'm sorry. Apparently we're having, I don't know what the trouble is, but we also had a caller who dropped, Marilyn, and I want to ask her question that she's not able to ask herself because we don't have her on the line right now. Is the Holy Spirit only present in the Catholic Church, or is the Spirit in all Christian churches?
The Holy Spirit is clearly present in all Christian churches. Vatican Council II spoke about that, and the popes since Vatican Council II have reaffirmed that many times, that the Holy Spirit is present actually wherever there is truth. That truth comes from the Holy Spirit. And this is something that the fathers of the church also affirmed. And it's also on a personal subjective level, something that you can recognize when you interact with people from other Christian traditions, that they love Christ. They love God. They serve him. In many cases, they're living holy, exemplary lives. They don't have the fullness that we have in the Catholic Church, but clearly they have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, many of them, who has drawn them to Christ and drawn them to God and has inspired many of their works of service, their writing, etc. I don't mean inspiration in the official sense, but just in the sense that often they're led by the Holy Spirit. So I think it's really important for us to affirm that. The Holy Spirit doesn't only work among us. He's constantly at work throughout the world.
Well, that doesn't meet with my egotism. I'm sorry. That does not meet the standards of my egotism. Dr. Mary Healy has been our guest. You can find her books wherever there's good Catholic books. You might look for the book Healing or the book The Spiritual Gifts Handbook. You can also find out all about her and her books at drmaryhealy.com. That's drmaryhealy.com. Dr. Healy, thank you so much. As always, it's a great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
And maybe after all of this virus goes away, we'll see you in person sometime.
That would be great.
Much to be hoped. Carlos, coming up next, we're going to do the Bible Blueprint for Priesthood. Give a call.